This episode of Fighting for the Faith is sponsored by the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Welcome to another installment of Fighting for the Faith. My name is Chris Roseborough. I am your servant in Jesus Christ. This is the channel that compares what people are saying in the name of God to the Word of God. So there's an eclipse coming up on April 8th in the United States, 2024, and we're going to put this out there. There's a lot of channels that are kind of like the usual suspects, you know, prophecy channels and NAR charismatic leaders and things like this, that are all claiming that the 2024 eclipse, that God is speaking a message of doom over the United States as a result of this eclipse. It is not true. The eclipse doesn't mean any of these things. And let's just say that the number of YouTube videos out there are so voluminous, we're not going to cover all of them. We're just going to focus on one, because I've noticed that the message is pretty much the same that we're going to hear from Troy Brewer as we hear from other people. And this particular video, at the time I'm recording this, has already 800,000 views. So that being the case, I think this is... it's important for us to respond to this and point out that Troy Brewer is twisting the scriptures. And I mean, not just a little bit, I mean, badly. And it'll start off small at first, but by the time we get into the bulk of this, these are huge twistings of scripture. And so what we want to do is assure everybody that the eclipse coming up, sure, it's a sign, but what it is, it's a sign of the glory of God and the fact that He created creation. Eclipses are a normal part of our life here on planet Earth, and they've been around for as long as human beings have been around. And in fact, we're able to predict them with a great specificity, and we know on into the future when the next eclipses are going to be and where they're going to be, because of how frequent they are. They are not signs of impending doom, as we're going to hear Troy Brewer say, not at all. So let's whirl up the desktop, and let me pull up my web browser. And what we're going to be listening to or watching here, the name of the message is The April 8th Eclipse, What You Need to Know, Unveiling Prophetic Signs in the Heavens, Troy Brewer. This guy is not a solid teacher at all. Nobody should be listening to him. He's a con man, and he's a number shark. He's constantly looking for numbers to kind of give us messages from God and stuff like that, and he doesn't know what he's doing. He's a fake professor. He's a faux mathematician, and the things that he's saying, they're not biblical at all. They are false teaching, trying to masquerade as biblical teaching. So here's what he's going to do. In kind of the setup portion of this video, he points out that in Scripture, it points out in Genesis 1 that God made the sun, the moon, and the stars for signs and for seasons. This is absolutely true. And in the Psalms, it says that the heavens declare the glory of God. That's also true. But the problem is that he's going to equate solar eclipses with particular prophetic messages, which he can't actually substantiate from Scripture, because Scripture doesn't say the things that he's saying. So let's listen in as he kind of sets the foundation for this, basically saying, well, the sun, the moon, and the stars were made for signs and seasons. Though that's true. But which ones?
Know this of a certain, that the heavens were made for signs. Now, whenever I look at a sign, I'm looking at something that proclaims a prophetic message. That's what a sign is. If I was holding up a sign, it would have a message on it, right? So this is actually a...
I would note that oftentimes there are signs of the change of the season and things like this. The original Jewish calendar was a lunar calendar. And so you had new moons and, you know, and things like this based upon that. So you're kind of overstepping here when you say that they're for prophetic reasons, because I'm going to note here, by him claiming that eclipses are for prophetic signs, he's then the one who's going to claim that he knows what the prophetic message is that God's giving through these things. So he's overreaching what the Scripture says and saying things that it actually doesn't say in his overreach.
Prophetic message. So a season for signs and seasons is a prophetic appointed time. It means a prophetic appointment. Okay, that's the difference between times and seasons. Times is always linear and seasons are always cyclical. All right. I love the word of God. I get so excited about this stuff. So there is no end to the ways that God Almighty can speak. There is one word. There's only one word, but there's no end to the voices. And one of the voices is the heavens. And that's what Psalms 19 says. It says this, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day into day, it utters speech. Night into night, it shows knowledge. And there is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard.
Right. But what's it declaring? Go back into the earlier part of Psalm 19. The heavens declare the what? The glory of God. It is through the heavens that you can sit there and say God has manifested himself so that everybody knows that God exists. And so when you think of the eclipse that's coming up, now 7 years ago there was the Great American Eclipse, and I actually traveled from North Dakota to Missouri in order to see it, and it was amazing. If you've never seen a total eclipse and you're able to get to see the total eclipse on Monday, April 8th, do it. It is so worth your time because I'd never seen a total eclipse before. And at that moment when the moon finally covered the sun perfectly and the corona of the sun was then visible and it became night in the middle of the day and you could see the stars, I shed tears. It was so glorious. And so you'll note that he's properly quoting Psalm 19 here, that the heavens declare the glory of God. That's the point. So eclipses, lunar eclipses, solar eclipses, these are normal things. Remember, it was like 10 years ago, everyone was talking about the four blood moons and how those were imminent signs of the imminent return of Christ. Is anyone making those claims nowadays? No, because lunar eclipses and solar eclipses are a normal part of the solar system, of where we are in the solar system. That being the case, you know, they do declare something, and that's God's glory. That's what we should be looking at. So go and enjoy the eclipse, but don't somehow think that it's a harbinger of doom. And I'll explain why we shouldn't believe that by kind of fast forwarding here. And here's where Troy Brewer is going to start twisting the biblical texts. And then, in just a few minutes, we're going to go way off the rails biblically. He's going to say things that the scriptures contradict. It's that bad. But watch what he does here.
So in Luke chapter 21, verse 25, it says, this is Jesus talking, friends. Jesus said, there will be. So we're talking about present future tense. He's talking into our generation. He says,
okay, by the way, in Greek, there is present tense, present active indicative, and there is future tense, future active indicative. Those are two totally different tenses, and there's no such thing as present future tense. That animal doesn't exist. So Troy Brewer has just demonstrated he doesn't understand how Greek grammar works at all. And Jesus wasn't speaking in the present future tense because there is no such thing as that in the Greek. So let me back this up a little bit. Listen again.
So in Luke chapter 21, verse 25, it says, this is Jesus talking, friends. Jesus said, there will be. So we're talking about present future tense. He's talking into our generation. He says, and there shall...
No, he's not talking into our generation. What are you talking about? Unless this is the signs of the end of the times. I'll show you this in a second.
There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads.
Now, I'm going to point something out here. Okay, let me turn off the closed captioning so you can see this. Luke 21, 25, and 28. And there's an important thing that shows up here in this, and that's these three dots. Those are called ellipses, which note what he just did here. He cut out the context, the middle part of the context of this passage. There shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, dot, dot, dot. Now, when you see these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. What comes after the ellipses? Because when you see these things happening, is that referring to the 2024 eclipse in the United States of America? Well, let's test it, okay? So what we're going to do is we're going to go to Luke 21, and we're going to apply our three rules for sound biblical exegesis, which are context, context, and context. And we can note here, he intentionally quoted this passage with missing context. He started at verse 25, skipped 26, 27, and then went to 28 to make it look like Jesus here in Luke 21 was talking about the April 8th, 2024 eclipse. Is that what Jesus is talking about? Watch this. So there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. So he legitimately took out this whole part right here. Just omitted it. We're going to pause right there and talk about the sponsor for today's episode of Fighting for the Faith, and that's the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. Sometimes I get emails from people saying, Chris, which conferences do you speak at? Where can we go to meet you? And well, if you want to meet me, I'll be speaking at the Issues Etc. Conference, the Making the Case Conference. In fact, let me whirl up the desktop here again, and we'll show you. And that is that this is the website for Issues Etc. And if you don't listen to this podcast, you are legitimately missing out. Issues Etc. is like one of the best Christian talk radio programs in like all of the world. And I don't think I'm speaking a hyperbole when I say that. So this year, on the weekend of July 12th and the 13th, yeah, that's right, Making the Case July 12th and 13th at Concordia University in Chicago, they're going to be holding the Making the Case Conference. Speakers are going to include Riley Gaines, Mark and Molly Hemingway, Aaron Wren, myself, Pastor Brian Wolfmuller, and Pastor Will Whedon will all be there. And I'm going to be speaking on the topic of the fad-driven church, making a case against the fad-driven church. That'll be my topic. But if you would like to have an opportunity to meet me, that would be the place to go to do so. And it's not outrageously expensive. The registration page, we're going to put a link to this down below in the description. At the registration page, you'll see that it's early bird registration is $140 per person to attend the conference, and that includes three meals. So, you know, if you want to have an opportunity to like sit down and eat pizza with me or something like that, this is the place to do it. So again, the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, make plans, register now. Early bird registration ends on April 30th, and look forward to seeing you there. And now back to our video. Now we need to look at the cross reference here so we know what this is referring to. The cross reference is found in Matthew 24. And this is what Jesus says in Matthew 24. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then will appear in heaven the sign of the Son of Man, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So note, the sign that we're looking for is the sun being darkened, the moon no longer giving its light, and the stars falling from the heavens. That's what is being referred to here in Luke 21. That's what's being referenced, but you can only get this from the cross reference. There will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars on the earth, distress of nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and the foreboding of what's coming in the world, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. So note, he took all of that out. So when you see these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads. So we know then by putting in the missing data that he took out with those three ellipses, dot, 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 that this isn't referring to the April 8th, 2024 eclipse in the United States of America. This doesn't look good for Troy Brewer. This means he's twisting up these texts in order to basically fearmonger in the middle of a kind of current event, if you would. So let me back this up so you can see what he's doing, because it's really bad.
It says, this is Jesus talking, friends. Jesus said, there will be. So we're talking about present, future tense. He's talking into our generation. He says, and there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. Now, when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. Friends, my Redeemer lives, and my Redeemer is Jesus. And if you know how to see it, the heavens are declaring all that right now.
Yeah, that wasn't referring to the 2024 eclipse, though, dude. Why'd you omit the information that would have made it possible for everyone to see that this was not talking about the eclipse?
So I want to tell you how. You know, there was this incredible thing that happened over seven.
Okay, so now here's where story time begins. And it's not biblical story time. And you're going to hear Troy Brewer contradict Jesus. And so I'm just going to ask you right now. And that is, when Troy Brewer contradicts Jesus, who are you going to believe? Jesus or Troy Brewer? Who do you think you should believe? So watch what he does.
Right now. So I want to tell you how. You know, there was this incredible thing that happened over 700 years ago. There was this terrible event that happened in Israel. And when this terrible event happened, it was the Assyrians attacked them. And they went from city to city to city, destroying, I believe it was 29 different cities. And I mean, when they destroyed them, it looked like October 7th event. It was horrible. And then they got all the way to Jerusalem, and God Almighty told the king, he said, don't worry about it. They're not going to be able to get you. I'm going to protect you. And they went to besiege Jerusalem. And then one angel came, and that one angel killed 185,000 Assyrians. One angel. And like one.
All right, that's recorded in the scriptures. I think that under King Hezekiah.
Wow. Well, then he went home, you know, with his tail between his legs, and he's like, oh my gosh, and he goes home. But then he wanted people to forget that the angel of the Lord had actually destroyed his army. So he built this incredible place in Nineveh, and he built up this amazing palace, and it had all these pictures and all these stories of how he had slaughtered the Jews. Fast forward a few years later, God Almighty tells Jonah, I want you to go to that palace. And it's in a place that is called Nineveh. And while you're there, I want you to go and I want you to preach repentance to him. Jonah said, no, I'm not going to do it. And then we all know the story. He first prepared a great fish, and then God Almighty prepared a worm. He goes from a fish to a worm. And poor old Jonah. But
what? Boy, you're jumping chapters there, dude. Do you even really know the story of Jonah?
Whenever he gets there, he has to walk among those pictures, and he has to walk among those places and all those terrible stories of the inhumanity. That
does it say anything in the book of Jonah about Jonah going in and seeing the pictures that the king of Nineveh had made? Nope, doesn't say a thing. You're inserting this into the biblical text. That's a form of Bible twisting called eisegesis, reading into the biblical text stuff that ain't there. So this is eisegesis.
This king had done to his people just a few years earlier. Now I'm going to fast forward you again, way into the future. Leanna Brewer, my beautiful bride, I got it all out. There you go. And we were in London, England, and we go to the incredible museum that is there, and the Great British Museum of History. And while we're there, we walk into a room that has all these things on it. And I'm looking at it, and I went, this is what Noah had to walk in. They have literally rebuilt the palace that poor
Jonah. But the thing is, it doesn't say anything about Jonah walking in any of that at all. In the book of Jonah, doesn't say anything about him entering any of the buildings in Nineveh. Nope.
Jonah had to walk in. Now, when I saw that, I began doing all this research on it, and I saw the terrible things that are depicted there, and it gave me a new kind of empathy and a new kind of understanding of what Jonah had gone through. And so once I started seeking the Lord, I began to understand something, because whenever I typed up, when did that event actually happen? And the Jonah event actually happened in 763 AD.
All right, so you know for a fact that Jonah went into Nineveh in 763 AD. For a fact. Okay.
And I was like, I'm sorry, BC. And I was like, okay, is there anything else that happened in 763 BC? And then I came across this. I want to show you a picture here. It's a number three picture. This happened on June the 15th in the year 763. And it's known as the Assyrian eclipse. Now, that's a NASA picture.
Yeah, he's right. That is actually NASA. I wanted to fact check that, and sure enough, it was created by NASA. Say, okay.
NASA is great at putting people on the moon, but they're terrible at graphics. I just thought I'd tell you that. And then if you...
I mean, it legitimately looks like it was made in Microsoft Paint. Okay.
Look right there. That is where it was at exactly on 763 BC. And so, like, what is that? That is the day that Jonah the prophet walked into Nineveh, and you know what happened? There was a solar eclipse. Like, okay.
Really? Really? What scripture says that there was a solar eclipse on the day that Jonah entered Nineveh? No biblical text says that anywhere. Not even close.
What? Yes, there was a solar eclipse. So why did they repent? And by the way, you know, and you can look.
I know why they repented. Jesus will tell us why here in a minute.
was June the 15th of 763 BC. It was the first of Elul on the Hebrew calendar. And then what did this brother say? He said, 40 days, and I'm going to watch you burn. I'm done with y'all. And they're like, oh, no. Well, they actually repented. And it's like, well, why did he say 40 days? Because 40 days after the first of Elul is the Day of Atonement, which is Judgment Day. It's like, boom. Well, Elul is also the month of repentance. And do you know what happened? Those people actually said, we don't want to mess with this guy.
Which text says that Jonah entered Nineveh on June 15th? Which biblical text says that? Which biblical text mentions the eclipse that took place while Jonah was preaching in Nineveh? Which biblical text? It doesn't mention that at all in Jonah.
Their God killed 185,000 of our soldiers, and the second this dude walked in, there was a solar eclipse. And we always know that a solar eclipse means a word to the nations.
There it is. And we always know that a solar eclipse means a word to the nations. Which biblical text says that a solar eclipse means a word to the nations? No biblical text says that. No biblical text mentions the Assyrian eclipse. Not even one. So we got a problem here.
Okay. Now I'm going to fast forward you. Again, I should say, take you back some 2,000 years ago. And Jesus Christ himself was talking to a group of hypocrites who demanded additional signs. And he said, I'm not going to give you any more additional signs, except for one. I'll give you the sign of Jonah the prophet. Now, our Western Christianity view of that is a new revelation that they didn't have, which is Jesus Christ was in the belly of hell for 3 days before he was resurrected, exactly like Jonah. But that wasn't their revelation. Their revelation of the sign of Jonah the prophet was a solar eclipse.
So note what he just did there. So Christianity thinks that the sign of Jonah is that Jesus was dead and buried for 3 days and then rose again. But to them, the sign of Jonah was an eclipse. No biblical text says that. In fact, what he just said right here contradicts Jesus. Let me explain. So what we are going to do, let's see here. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 12. The text that he references here. And I'm just going to ask the question. Is it just today's modern Christianity that thinks that the sign of Jonah is Jesus' death and resurrection? Okay, let's take a look. Some of the scribes and the Pharisees answered Jesus, saying, "Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you." But he answered them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except for the sign of the prophet Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation, and they will condemn it, for they repented at what?" Watch this. "They repented at the preaching of Jonah." The biblical text, Christ says, you know what caused the Ninevites to repent? It was the preaching of Jonah. No mention of an eclipse at all. So we got a big problem here. And that is that Troy Brewer, he's making stuff up. And why is he doing it? So that he can fearmonger and make a profit off of the April 8th, 2024 eclipse in the United States by somehow saying, "Oh, this is a prophetic sign to the nation of the United States." And oh boy, you know, because eclipses are signs to the nations. And the true sign of Jonah was the eclipse that took place on June 15th, 763. A little bit of a note here. This is the mention of the Assyrian eclipse on Wikipedia. So you're going to note here, the Beryl Sagali eclipse occurred over the Assyrian capital of Nineveh in the middle of the reign of Jeroboam II, who ruled in Israel from 786 to 746 BC. According to 2 Kings, the prophet Jonah lived and prophesied in Jeroboam's reign. The biblical scholar Donald Wiseman has speculated that the eclipse took place around when Jonah arrived in Nineveh and urged the people to repent, otherwise the city would be destroyed. Okay, so note, no biblical text says any of this. It's just a guy by the name of Donald Wiseman and his speculation that the eclipse took place in and around the time when Jonah was there. But Christ says that the reason why the Ninevites repented is they repented at the preaching of Jonah. No mention of an eclipse at all. And the sign of Jonah wasn't an eclipse. The sign of Jonah, Christ is giving it. And the sign of Jonah is Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection on the third day. That's the sign of Jonah. And Jesus is the one who says that's what the sign of Jonah is. And so what he did here was very snaky. It was intentional. And that is to somehow say, well, you Christians, modern Christians nowadays, you think the sign of Jonah is Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. But, oh, the Jews listening in Jesus' time, oh, that for to them it was the eclipse. Baloney. Bovine scatology is what this is. Let me back this up. Listen again.
Our Western Christianity view of that is a new revelation that they didn't have, which is Jesus Christ was in the belly of hell for 3 days before he was resurrected.
So if you believe that the sign of Jonah is Christ's death, burial, and resurrection in 3 days, well, that's a Western Christianity thing. No, it's not, sir. That's exactly what Jesus says the sign of Jonah is. You are contradicting Jesus, Troy Brewer, and no true Christian preacher would dare to do such a thing.
Before he was resurrected, exactly like Jonah. But that wasn't their revelation. Their revelation of the sign of Jonah, the prophet, was a solar eclipse. So when Jesus said that the sun is going to get dark, you need to know that when my King Jesus was hanging on the cross at Golgotha, that the sky went dark. And they went, that's the sun.
And that's not an eclipse at all. It's a precursor of what's coming when the sun is darkened and the moon no longer gives its light. And precursor of when the stars fall from the heavens. As what Christ says is the precursor of his return, his second coming.
Sign of Jonah the prophet. So a lot of this revelation, friends, we've actually lost and we're just now digging up again. And that's exactly what...
We haven't lost any of this revelation. The church has had the Bible for millennia and we didn't lose any revelation. If God wanted us to believe this, he would have had this written in the Bible, sir.
That's exactly what Daniel said to Nebuchadnezzar. He said, there's a lot of seals and a lot of things until the end times. And friends, I'm telling you right now that these are the last days. I have such a sense of urgency about me. I want to reach you for Jesus. I want to encourage you. I want to love you. I want you to cry.
Fear-mongering, using the solar eclipse to fear-monger.
Cry out to the Lord. Amen. Now, since we know now that the sign of Jonah the prophet is an eclipse.
No, we don't know that. We know that what you just said is a lie. Straight up lie that you made up based upon nothing but pure speculation and eisegesis. The sign of Jonah is what Christ says it is, his death, burial, and resurrection on the third day. That's what the sign of Jonah is. It is not an eclipse. So you'll note then what he does next here is he's going to describe the great American eclipse from 7 years ago and how it went through seven towns all by the name of Salem, which in Hebrew means peace. And then he's going to then talk about the upcoming eclipse on April 8th. And note that it's going to travel through seven cities. And listen to what this man is making up.
This one's a little bit different. Why is that? Because it goes over seven cities in the United States that have the same name. What is it? It is the name Nineveh. Are you kidding me? No, I'm not kidding you, friends. As a matter of fact, whenever I first began to discover this, I nearly fell down because it first goes over Nineveh, Texas, then it goes over Nineveh, Missouri, then it goes over Nineveh, Indiana, and then it goes over Nineveh, Ohio, and then it goes over
It goes over Texarkana, too, which means I'm going to be watching Smokey and the Bandit. Eastbound and down, loaded up and trucking, you know, because there's beer in Texarkana, man. So this is stupid. So what this guy is basically saying is because, oh, well, you know, it's going to go over seven cities in the United States, all named Nineveh. It's the sign of Jonah. And so we need to repent doom and gloom for America. I would note that the call for America to repent stands because Christ has commanded his church to go and proclaim repentance and the forgiveness of sins in his name to all nations. We don't need earthquakes or eclipses to help us with this. Because the gospel is the power of God into salvation. What this guy is doing and other people are doing is just whacker-doodle fear-mongering. And here's the thing. In 4 months, no one's going to be talking about the eclipse and how it was a sign of the need for America to repent. No one. Not one single person. 7 years from now, no one's going to even remember any of this stuff. And the reason why is because what he's doing is trying to capitalize on a headline that's in the current news and make it sound like, oh, there's a prophetic message here. No, there isn't. The only prophetic message from the eclipse is found in the Psalms, and he read it earlier from Psalm 19. And that's what this, that is the prophetic significance then of this event, P-S-A-L-M. There we go. The heavens declare the glory of God, Scripture says. The sky above proclaims his handiwork. Day to day it pours out speech, and night to night it reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice it is not heard. The voice goes out through all the earth, and the words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and there's nothing hidden from its heat. That's what the eclipse is about, to declare the glory of God. Go in and enjoy it, and don't fear that somehow it's an impending sign of God's doom and wrath, because it isn't. The signs that we're looking for regarding the imminent return of Christ and the judgment of the world is the sun darkening, the moon no longer giving its light, the stars falling from heavens, and the sign of the Son of Man being seen in the heavens and the sky. That's what we're looking for. And the 2024 eclipse ain't any of those things. So hopefully you found this helpful. If so, all the information on how you can share the video is down below in the description. And a quick shout out and a thank you for all of you who support Fighting for the Faith financially. You make it possible for us to do what we are doing. We could not be doing it without your help. So thank you for your support. And if you would like to join our crew and support us financially, there's a link down below in the description that will take you to our website where you can join our crew and support us so that we can keep doing the work that we're doing. So until next time, may God richly bless you in the grace and mercy won by Jesus Christ, his vicarious death on the cross, for all of your sins. Amen.
So nice to see that you've made it to the end. Before you inevitably click on another video to continue binging our glorious content, you should know about some of our other offerings. First off, some of you may know that our pirate captain is also the pastor of Kongsvinger Lutheran Church out in Oslo, Minnesota. The editor that I totally don't have locked in my basement produces audio and video versions of Kongsvinger sermons and Sunday schools weekly. So go check out kongsvingerchurch.org to see all of our offerings. Now, to address some of the frequently asked questions we get in the comments. 1. The Bible and video editing software we use are named and linked in the description down below. 2. If you wish to donate to us directly so that we can keep the lights on, go check out www.piratechristian.com and hit the crew tab. We don't promise miraculous healings or a double increase in your finances, but what we do promise is more quality discernment from our studio into your ear holes. And 3. How do you tie up with boxing gloves? Okay, who's the wiseacre who put this in here?